Bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle.
We are going to talk about riding our bicycles and the Share and Be Aware campaign this hour, which is aimed at improving safety for people biking and walking in Wisconsin. How do all users of our roadways, motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians, safely coexist? And why is there seemingly so much conflict anyway? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 10th. Our conversation is prompted by our Labor Day show last week when we had on a couple of driving experts. They were sharing tips on the rules of the road for motorists, and we discussed our traffic pet peeves. We got a few comments about cars posing safety issues for bicyclists and bicyclists posing safety problems for themselves on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And then we got a suggestion that we should focus a show on how all users of the road can do so safely. So we are. And we're welcoming your questions and your observations on bicycling habits you think are unsafe, motorist driving behaviors that are unsafe for bicyclists and pedestrians, your own experiences. Have you had a close call or witnessed one? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Jessica Binder, Programming and Policy Director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation. Good morning. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what is the Share and Be Aware campaign all about?
The Share and Be Aware campaign is a statewide program to improve road safety for people walking and biking by educating all road users, drivers, walkers, bikers, about their rights and responsibilities so that we can have active transportation, people can enjoy walks in their neighborhood or bike to the store and not feel threatened and really enjoy that experience.
Yeah. So why is such a campaign needed?
Such a campaign is needed because, unfortunately, some people do still feel afraid to bike or walk in their neighborhood, and a lot of motorists don't properly follow the rules and laws and share the road space with them.
Mm-hmm. What about the bicyclists? Do they sometimes not follow the rules of the road too?
Yeah, so the goal of the program is definitely to reach out to all road users. So we want everybody to follow the law, bicyclists to stop at stop signs, bike in the road, go in the same direction as traffic, take the lane if you need to, signal your turns if you're able. We want pedestrians to cross the street a little bit more assertively often than they do and remind drivers that they're supposed to yield to them when they're crossing at a crosswalk, and then work with drivers to mind the speed limit, watch for people on bikes, stop and yield the right of way at crosswalks. And if everyone does those things, we can make our roads safer. We really feel that even one person dying on our roads who's walking or biking is one too many.
Yeah. So what are the statistics on how bad the problem is? How many deaths, injuries, crashes are there?
Yeah, there's an average of about 10 bicycle fatalities per year in Wisconsin and about 40 pedestrian fatalities a year in Wisconsin, which really pales in comparison to the 40,000 people a year that are killed on roads. Biking and walking is a safe activity, and actually your lifetime odds of accidental death as a car occupant are 1 in 242, but as a bicyclist, 1 in 4,838. I can't do the math, but clearly bicycling is many times more safe than driving on those statistics. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I like to think about is from the National Vital Statistics Report, there's information about the leading causes of accidental death. And number one is motor vehicles. Number six is drowning. Number nine is land transportation accidents, which includes bicycling. And I think, you know, no one goes swimming and has their family say, oh, it's so dangerous, be careful, you might drown. People take normal precautions, but they can still go out and enjoy a swim and not feel limited. And really, that's what we want people to feel about walking and biking, because it is a safe activity.
Is there any information on what's the most common type of collision or who's most at fault?
Yeah, when we're dealing with adult bicyclists on the road, It's motorist errors that lead to most of the crashes. So a motorist who passes a bicyclist on the right and then very quickly turns right, that's called the right hook. That's a common crash type. Again, a motorist going through an intersection and there's an oncoming bicyclist who wants to turn left, and the motorist thinks they can beat the cyclist, and they run into the cyclist. Those are two of the major crash types that are motorist-caused. And then one issue for adult bicyclists is running lights. If you run lights, that's another common crash type, but that's the only one in the top three that's caused by bicyclists, not by the drivers.
Yeah. Do you have any sense as to what makes it so hard for bikes and cars to share the road?
I think it's that our culture recently has really been focused on driving, and our transportation infrastructure has been focused on driving, and that's led many drivers to feel like they own the roads, and forgetting that roads are actually there for the movement of goods and people. There's really supposed to be no mode of transportation that supersedes any other.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, our culture's kind of gone in that direction. But the good news is that we can work together and try to change that culture, where an old woman carrying her groceries trying to cross the street, where the first car that sees her on the corner stops and lets her go, following the law and allowing her, you know, free movement and a better life because she can get out and go to her grocery store safely. And that's really what we want to work towards.
Yeah, and we want to focus on the positive and focus on things that we can all do to share the road safely. But I just want to note that when I posted this last week and this week that we were going to focus on sharing the road this week, we have dozens of comments on Facebook, and there's a variety of them, but there's quite a few that are motorists who are angry at bicyclists for breaking the rules, or so they think. And there seems to be some animosity between the two groups. Do you sense that?
I think there can be animosity between any groups that maybe have to get along.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will have negative feelings about the other group. But to be honest, most people who bike also drive, and most people who drive also bike. 50% of Wisconsinites in a year go bicycling, and very few bicyclists only bike. So really, we are a community. We are the same people. When you're in a car, give 3 feet to bicyclists. When you're biking, share the road, operate appropriately. Bike in the same direction as traffic. Both bicyclists and motorists should yield to pedestrians waiting at corners to cross the street.
Yeah. Is there, we're going to go into some specifics, and I'm sure we'll get lots of calls and we can talk about various rules of the road and how we can coexist. But is there a sort of an overriding rule here that everybody should keep in mind in order to share the road?
Yeah, I think the key thing is that bicycles are legal vehicles and are intended roadway users, and they can take up as much space on the road as they need to operate safely, and that might cause motorist inconvenience, but that's okay. If you're driving in the country and there's a tractor that has a large mower that takes up both lanes, you just have to go slow behind it and wait till there's an opportunity to pass. It's kind of the same thing with bicycles. Really, the roads are for all goods and people to move around, not just one mode.
And the bicyclist has a right to be on that road and has the same responsibilities as a driver, right?
Right. So bicyclists should follow the basic rules of the road, except those that by their very nature don't apply to bicycles. And maybe that's like a reverse light. You know, you don't have to signal if you're backing up in a bicycle. You can't go backwards in a bicycle. So there's a few laws that bicycles don't have to follow. But overall, follow the rules of the road, and everyone is safer.
We are talking with Jessica Binder. She is Programming and Policy Director at the Wisconsin Bike Federation. We are talking about sharing the road, talking about the rules of the road for bicyclists, motorists, and pedestrians. And we're welcoming your questions and your observations. What's your experience sharing the road with bicycles or cars or pedestrians? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 10th. We are talking about sharing the road. Cars, bicycles, pedestrians all use the same streets and roads to get around, but collisions between any two can result in injury or death. We are getting some advice for the safe coexistence of all road users with Jessica Binder. She is with the Wisconsin Bike Federation, talking with her about the Share and Be Aware campaign that is aimed at improving safety for people using Wisconsin's roadways. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Krista on Facebook says, I nearly collided with a bicyclist one afternoon because he blew a stop sign, which I stopped for. The T collision would have hurt him a lot worse. My motorcycle outweighed his bike by hundreds of pounds. I outweighed him, and I had real safety gear on while he had only spandex. Luckily, I was paying attention. Well, I guess we should say motorcyclist, too, Jessica. So that's a case of you have to stop for the traffic signs.
Exactly, yeah. Bicyclists should stop at all traffic control devices, stop signs, or lights. And, you know, that person might have just made a mistake and not seen it. Very rarely do you see bicyclists really choose to take their lives in their hands and squeeze through or almost cause a crash to get by. Sometimes people aren't paying enough attention, but really overall, bicyclists occasionally don't stop because they don't want to come to a full stop. It actually takes as much energy to start up from a stop on a bicycle as it does to pedal the length of an entire football field. And I'm not saying that to encourage people to not stop at stop signs, but just know as a driver that it is very hard to start from a complete stop as a bicyclist, and they often want to maintain their momentum. So what this gentleman did in this situation is definitely an issue. You know, do not run stop signs, period. But don't be so frustrated with bicyclists if they don't come to a full and complete stop but are still following the order of whose turn it is and yielding appropriately.
Yeah, somebody posted on our Facebook page some proposal in another state to allow the rolling stop by bicyclists at stop signs. Is that something that's catching on?
There's one state in the nation, Idaho, that has a stop like that where bicyclists can treat stop signs as yield signs if there's no opposing traffic. And you can think about Idaho as kind of a wide open state where occasionally, you know, two big state roads are intersecting, but they have very little traffic. You can see for miles probably in all directions. If you come up to that stop sign and no one is around you, do you need to come to a full, complete stop, or can you look, continue a little bit of your momentum and go through? And that's the intent of that law. It hasn't been passed anywhere else, but I think what that law points to and the issue with stop signs in a lot of cities points to is that we currently have a system that really is designed primarily for automobiles. And if you have a wonderful side street that maybe neighborhood kids or adults like to bike on in a neighborhood, but there's stop signs every single block, that does really slow down bicycle traffic and makes it less pleasant, less appealing. If you have a trailer of kids or you have groceries on your bike, you might be a little unstable when you stop. So it is a discouragement. If we could get more drivers to follow the speed limits better, we probably would not need stop signs every single block. So a lot of cities are moving to more innovative designs, such as bicycle boulevards, where motorized vehicle traffic is really slowed, but bicyclists have free-flowing movements without unnecessary stop signs.
Well, let's get some callers in. Peg in Sturgeon Bay is with us. Hello, Peg.
Good morning, Joy. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, Peg.
We just had a Century Ride up here in Door County, and I hear there were a couple thousand bike riders. And there are a lot of people that have a lot of issues with bike riders. Rolling stops, big one. Two is going three and four wide down the roads. They do not go in single file. They think because they're in a group and they're on this ride that they can pretty much own the roads. And single riders, okay, maybe they'll they'll watch the rules more. But they just, they don't get ticketed, they don't get stopped, they don't get warned, and it's very difficult for a driver to have to, excuse me, put up with these bicyclists that think they can ride two and three abreast and nobody can get around them.
Well, what about that? And is it are the rules of the road different if you're in a group ride, Jessica?
Yeah, the rules of the road definitely apply in a group ride, and I think humans just have an issue when they get in a group. Things kind of change, and some rules sometimes fall by the wayside. Anyone who is in the Milwaukee area for the Harley 110th knows that it's not just bicyclists. It's lots of different people who fall into that trap. The rules on riding two abreast, though, are something that a lot of motorists don't know, and I think they improperly think that bicyclists are breaking the law or doing something unsafe. So bicyclists are allowed to ride two abreast if they're not impeding the flow of traffic. And it's not totally stated in the law, but some people have read the law and believe that if one cyclist needs to take the lane, so if a lane on a Door County road is fairly narrow and there's not enough room for a bicyclist and a motorist to share, then that bicyclist has the right to take the lane, and that is a safer thing to do, and really kind of force and encourage the motorist to wait till there's a gap in oncoming traffic and go around. If that's the case, that one bicyclist would need to take the lane to operate safely, you can have other bicyclists next to that person. So it might seem that they are blocking traffic, but if one of them would have taken up that same kind of amount of area and forced a lane change, it's okay for other people to ride next to each other. And really, you know, this isn't bicyclists wanting to frustrate drivers, although bicyclists, remember, you know, everything you do can either make drivers like us as a group or dislike us, so, you know, please take that seriously. But it's about bicyclists wanting to have a social experience, and riding next to someone and getting to talk to them really makes 100 miles go a lot faster and be more enjoyable. Mm. And so I guess I just encourage everybody to think about each other as humans, and, you know, there's a human reason that they're doing that. It's not because they're jerks. It's not because they're out to get you. There's often other things motivating people. And since biking and walking has such good benefits for the community, better air quality, you know, all those riders coming up to Door County definitely have an economic impact. Exercise, we all want to keep future health care and current health care costs down. So if we have an active society where people don't feel threatened when they're on the road walking and biking, it is good for all of us, even if you choose to never get on a bike.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a little bit about what a car should do to safely pass a bicyclist who is, maybe it's just a single bicyclist on the riding on the side of the road.
Yeah, so you should always give at least 3 feet, and the faster you're going, the more room you should give. And if you're a bus or truck operator, please give even more room, especially if you're on a kind of a county road or somewhere where you're going 45 or 50. Give as much room as you can. You are allowed to pass to pass a bicyclist if you need to go into the oncoming lane if it's clear. And actually, bicycles have a kind of special designation along with farm implements, where a motorist who is stuck behind one can cross a double solid yellow line to pass that slow-moving vehicle if they can see that the way is clear. So don't do it on a blind curve where you really can't tell. But because you can pass a slow-moving tractor or bicyclist fairly quickly, you are allowed to cross a double yellow line if it's safe to do so.
Yeah. Get your reaction, Jessica, to this comment. Zachary on Facebook says, motorists have plenty of laws and regulations in place meant to promote the safe operation of motor vehicles. Yet somehow people are satisfied with the rate at which cars crash into each other and the number of fatalities. Why not start that conversation instead of wasting time on the same old saws about cyclists? Our cholesterol, blood pressure, and resting heart rates are better than yours. Motorists are simply upset that they're not conveniently parked and have to wait in line.
I think I like that gentleman's creative comments. Yeah, I think we do have enough laws for motorists. We just need to actually enforce them and have people follow them. And bicycling is this wonderful thing that I hope if we have more bike trails, more bike lanes, a safer feeling in communities, that more people will get out and enjoy it, and enjoy the fact that you don't have to wait in line, that you always get a parking spot right in front when you bike.
We're talking with Jessica Binder, Programming and Policy Director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation. We're talking about trying to improve the safety for all road users, bicyclists, pedestrians, and motorists. So how do we coexist? And what are some of the questions you have about the rules of the road for all of us? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about bicycle and motorist safety this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, September the 10th. If you have a question about the rules of the road for bicyclists and motorists, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking about the Share and Be Aware campaign, which is aimed at improving safety for people biking and walking in Wisconsin, and how all users of our roadways, motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians, can safely coexist. Our guest is Jessica Binder, Programming and Policy Director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation. And we have many callers, so let's go to Deb in Vilas County first. Hello, Deb.
Good morning.
Morning.
What I'm wondering is, when there's a bike trail right alongside of a road, or like here in Vilas County, we have hundreds of miles of bike trail that are paved, why wouldn't we have rules that those bicyclists should use those trails? Even if they're so close to the roads, that I don't understand why the bicyclists can't be required to utilize those trails, especially when they're paved. We as taxpayers have paid for that. Is there any kind of licensing fee also that maybe bicyclists should have to pay in order to utilize the roadways just like motorists do? I'll take my answer off the air.
Mm-hmm. Jessica?
Sure, so I'll take the second one first. So the DNR does have trail passes for bicyclists and other trail users that help fund those trails. But overall, for the transportation system, people walking and biking have such a little impact and require so little of the investment for their use that it doesn't really make sense to have them contribute. The other thing is that I'm sure other guests have been on to talk about how our transportation system is not solely funded by user fees such as gas tax or licensing, and that a large chunk of funding for roads comes from property tax, which everyone pays no matter if they rent or own or bike or walk. So bicyclists already are contributing and actually helping drivers probably have a better road system and only using a small portion of it. There's no law requiring bicyclists to use a certain facility, and I think if you take a step back, maybe in a legal sense, you can see that that's a good idea. Do we really want anyone telling us like where we have to be and saying you have to, even to drivers, you have to take this route to get to work or something like that? We want people to have the choice. But why that exists is that there's often a number of reasons that trails that might seem appealing are actually either unsafe or hard for bicyclists to use. One could be that it's gravel. I know the caller said that they're paved. Another thing is if there's a lot of driveway crossings, it can actually be less safe to bike on a trail with lots of driveway crossings or road crossings than to bike in the road. And if a bicyclist wants to operate at a speed above 15 miles an hour or so, they really should be on the road. It's not safe for the other trail users. There's really no such thing as a bike trail in Wisconsin. What we have is multi-use trails, and we want to make sure they're safe and enjoyable for kids learning to bike, people with strollers, people taking their dogs for a walk. And those uses are incompatible with some of the faster bicyclists out there. So it is actually safer for everyone if they're using the road. So we encourage people to use their personal decision-making about where to ride. Another thing is in the winter. Very few trails are plowed and maintained in the winter. And even that can go into the fall or the spring where there might be puddles or major potholes. It's not in as good a repair as the road. And so bicyclists might be choosing the road for that reason as well.
We'll go next to Mark in Green Bay. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I like to hike on one of these trails that are paved that we share with walkers and with bikers. But when you're sharing a trail with a vehicle, even if the vehicle is a bicycle, shouldn't pedestrians be walking on the left side of the trail? That way they'd be able to see oncoming bicyclists and either step out of the way or not be surprised and startled if they walk on the right side of the trail and bikes come up from behind them.
Yeah, Mom. What about that, Jessica?
Yeah, it's a very good point, and I think that seems more enjoyable on a lower volume trail. But once you're in a more crowded area or a lot more people are using the trail, then it becomes a real tangle if pedestrians are walking against traffic. So what should happen in an ideal world is the bicyclists, even on a trail, walk in the same direction as traffic, stay on the right side of the trail, basically, and then passing bicyclists should announce a pass, so either with a bell or an on your left. And I'd say another thing that pedestrians can do to make the trail experience a little more enjoyable if they're not liking that feeling of being passed is take out your earphones. I can't believe what percentage of people on trails are using earphones, even in really crowded areas, and I just recommend against that. And I think if bicyclists see a lot of people with headphones in, then they say, oh, I don't need to announce the pass because they're not going to hear it. And then, unfortunately, for people who do want to hear it, bicyclists aren't announcing it anymore. So bicyclists, please do announce passes on trails. Pedestrians, stay on the right and go in the same direction as traffic.
Yeah.
It is the safest.
What about bicyclists who wear earphones?
Yeah, not recommended.
Yeah. Should bikers, most bicyclists have bells, or that's just a choice?
Yeah, it's a choice. If you don't have a bell, you can just say on your left or passing. But I do think that a bell is good because somehow every trail user knows what that noise means. Sometimes if you say on your left when you're passing people, they might start moving to their left, and that's exactly where you don't want them to go if you're carefully passing them. So a bell is a great noise that everyone remembers from their childhood, and they know what it means and continue on their path while a bicyclist is able to pass.
Yeah, my husband and I were out for a drive recently, and I don't remember exactly where we were, and we saw bicyclists. It wasn't a very crowded road, but they were biking against traffic. And I've heard some bicyclists like to do this because they're afraid of the cars. They don't want the car hitting them from behind. That's not legal, is it, to be biking against traffic?
Right. It's illegal to bike against traffic and quite dangerous. As a bicyclist, two of the best things you can do are never bike against traffic and always wear a helmet and follow stop signs and signals. If you do those three things, not two, but three, your chances of getting in a crash are already greatly reduced. A long time ago, the Boy Scouts taught that you should go bike against traffic, but that's really changed, and fewer people are doing it, which is a positive thing.
What about sidewalks and bicycles?
So it varies municipality by municipality. The state of Wisconsin allows each community to make their own laws about biking on sidewalks, so you really do have to check locally. But regardless of the law, the best thing if you're an adult bicyclist is to generally not bike on the sidewalk. You're a faster-moving vehicle, and when you're crossing driveways or streets, motorists aren't looking far enough to the right or left of that crossing to see you coming based on how quickly you can go. So try not to go on sidewalks, even if it's legal in your community. If you're an adult, is my safety recommendation. And if it is legal and you want to bike on the sidewalk, operate at more of a pedestrian speed. So if you're going 5 miles an hour or six, which is like a jogger, that's much safer, and motorists have time to see you approaching a crosswalk or coming across a driveway.
Mary Jo emails, two of my relatives who live in Minneapolis and ride bicycles frequently have been doored. That is, they are riding along on a city street and a person in a parked car opens their door immediately in front of them. One of these accidents resulted in a dislocated shoulder. So motorists should be looking in that rearview mirror before they open their door.
Yeah, and in Wisconsin, it is the fault of the motorist in that instance. Before you open your door into a traffic lane, you should check for traffic. So please, motorists, please do that. But also, bicyclists, you can protect yourself. You should always ride at least 3 feet from parked cars. And if that means that you even need to take the lane, you should. And that makes it safer for everybody.
What about in Madison, for example, there are bike lanes. And what about vehicles parked in those bike lanes? What is a bicyclist supposed to do then?
Yep, and this is an example of why we don't have laws about you have to use this facility or you have to do this, because often there can be a great facility and then something interrupts it and you have to have options. So if a vehicle is parked in a bike lane or double parked unloading or something, you can simply look back over your shoulder, see if the lane's open, signal, move over, and go around the vehicle. You can, if you want, report it to like the non-emergency police number locally that there's a vehicle parked in a bike lane. It is illegal. And if people want to learn a lot more of these details of bike laws and driving laws, our Share and Be Aware program offers a series of classes for free, and you can simply go to shareandbeaware.org and request an ambassador, and we can come to your community. So anyone who called in and feels like there's an issue in their neighborhood of bicyclists not following the law, please request that we teach a bicycle class, and we can partner with a local library or a bike shop and try to bring that. Or if you feel that motorists are the problem in your community, we will reach out to high schools and train their driver's ed instructors on our program to include bicycle and pedestrian training into driver's ed.
We will put a link to the shareandbeaware.org website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page as well. We are talking about the Share and Be Aware program, which is aimed at improving safety for people who are biking and walking in Wisconsin, and how users of our roadways, all of us, motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians, can get along. 1-800-642-1234. If you have any questions or observations on perhaps the bicycling habits you think are unsafe, or motorists driving behaviors that are unsafe for bicyclists and pedestrians, your own experiences, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking this hour about cars, bicycles, and pedestrians all safely using our roadways, and welcoming your questions for our guest, Jessica Binder, Programming and Policy Director at the Wisconsin Bike Federation. We have David on Facebook who says, on my bike, when I come to an intersection or a roundabout with traffic, I stop at least a yard behind the curb and I put both feet on the ground. Why do cars stop for me? I'm properly yielding the right-of-way. Don't wave me through, just keep the traffic flowing. Also, when I'm on a bike or in a bike lane, cars don't need to pull into the opposing lane to pass. That could result in a head-on, and they would blame the cyclist. Any comment on that, Jessica?
Yeah, that is a really common occurrence, that motorists, no matter what the bicyclist will doing, will some kind ones will just wave a bicyclist through, and it really is better if we just all follow the rules of the road. It is okay on the road to communicate and let people go. I think that's one of the things we need to change, is we need to not just operate like machines with certain rules, but actually remember there's people in the other vehicles and use our communication skills to navigate traffic the safest, and that's what roundabouts are really good at doing. But it is kind of ill-advised to wave people through. I guess I should actually leave that up to drivers. If you want to do that. But if you are waved through, make sure as a bicyclist or a pedestrian you've already checked traffic and checked traffic around that car that might be stopped so that you know it's safe.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I'm at a loss as a bicyclist and a motorist when I'm on a bike trail crossing a road or a street. And maybe a car will stop for me and in one lane, but the cars in the other lane will not. And I'm under the impression that cars are not supposed to stop for every bicyclist crossing the road. The bicyclist has a stop sign.
So this is actually one of the most confusing parts of bike law right now in Wisconsin. So often the stop signs at the end of a trail, this is especially true in Madison, are actually stop signs to tell bicyclists to stop for people on the sidewalk. And then the crossing is normally kind of a mid-block crossing, and it's a crosswalk, just like any other mid-block crosswalk might be. And so actually, once the bicyclist stops at the sidewalk and then goes to the curb, pedestrian rules about crosswalks apply. So technically, all the drivers going across should yield to bicyclists or pedestrians who want to cross at that trail crossing. But be very careful, because especially on multi-lane roads, one of the most common crash types is one vehicle yielding to a pedestrian or bicyclist and then the one in the next lane not yielding. So we'll always check each lane of traffic separately. And as a motorist, I would say that that safety issue points to the fact that more of us need to yield to people wanting to cross the street, not less. And if we can end this epidemic of distracted driving, speeding, and drunk driving, things like better yielding at crosswalks will happen, because drivers will be paying attention to the road and people around it instead of to devices.
Well, I'm glad that we talked about this, because I did have who I thought was another authority say, don't as a motorist stop for a bicyclist, because you might get rear-ended.
Pretty much in Wisconsin, if you are rear-ended, it's fully the fault of the person behind you. And being worried about someone rear-ending you is not a reason to blow by a pedestrian who's trying to cross the street.
No, not a pedestrian by any means. But this person was treating the pedestrian and the bicyclist differently.
Yeah, and it's a little bit confusing, but bicyclists are actually considered pedestrians if they're using a crosswalk in the same way that a pedestrian would use them.
Mm-hmm.
So a trail crossing of a road is that example where the biker and the walker are meeting the crosswalk to get across, and they technically do have the right of way, and motorists should yield.
Well, I will always. I do sometimes, but not always. Stop when there's a bicyclist waiting at the sidewalk. Now I will. Doug in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hi, Doug. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. What is your question or comment?
I drive a semi for a living, and like I said earlier, it's amazing what people will do on a bicycle, you know, around a truck. They hover the little white line, the fog line, and even if you hit your horn, because we can't move over a lot of times because there's cars alongside of us, and they just look back and pretend that we're not even there. And the disadvantage of that is if we are going fast enough, it will actually cause a suction or a vacuum, and it can possibly pull them underneath the trailer of the truck. It can pull them off the bicycle. But it's, you know, it's just like with cars and drivers training, I think that one of the main things that people really should focus on, and I don't know if there's ever been anything done about it, is bicycles and semis, motorcycles should be all part of driver's training before you get behind the wheel of any vehicle, that you're aware of the hazards and stuff that motorcycles, trucks, and bicycles have, and vice versa, before you take and get a license to license your bicycle. You should be aware of different hazards. But that's my main complaint, is You know, they have that whole shoulder that's designated.
Right. We get it, Doug, and because we're so short on time, let me get a reaction to that from Jessica.
So paved shoulders can be a good place to ride. They can also be a horrible place to ride. Sometimes they're full of glass and gravel and actually just very dangerous for a bicyclist to stay upright on. Also, there's those new rumble strips often, and sometimes the rumble strips take up so much of the shoulder, if it's not a wider shoulder, that's a problem. If there's a 3-foot or wider shoulder, and it's, you know, maybe you're up north and there's logging trucks and stuff, you know, that can be a good place to ride. But hogging the white line isn't recommended. If the shoulder is either too narrow or unsafe to ride in, you should actually come more into the lane so that a big semi can't squeeze by you and be too close. And it actually is okay if you have to force the semi to slow down and then go into the other lane. Again, I do think it's always good to be polite. I mean, you know, sometimes once in a while it's good for anybody to move off the road or let somebody else go first. But overall, you know, we should all be expecting to see bicyclists and give them the room they need.
Yeah, well, we just have a minute or so to go. Are there ways communities as a whole can become safer for cyclists and pedestrians?
Yeah, so people working together is what can make a community better for walking and biking. And I know I am engaged in this work not actually because I think bikes are so cool and amazing, but because I like communities where people know their neighbors, they don't need to own a car, they can have a lot of businesses in their neighborhood to support their life, and really walking and biking helps create that. So if you want to have a community where kids get around on their own, they're walking and biking to school, people are engaging with their neighbors, visit our shareandbeaware.org page, request a class, join with your neighbors, talk to your local elected officials, remind them that you care about this issue, you want speed limits enforced, and we can really have a better, healthier neighborhood for everybody.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Jessica Binder is the Programming and Policy Director for the Wisconsin Bike Federation, and we will put a link to the Share and Be Aware website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Christy Taylor. She produced and directed this program. Thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production. And thank you for all of your calls and comments. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.